story of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was preaching to his father that materialistic people, they're too addicted to enjoying their body and senses, they cannot be inclined toward God. And the only way they can do that is by attaining the mercy of a Vaishnava and surrendering unto him and getting their bodies covered with the dust of the Vaishnavas. So the foot dust of the pure devotee is the only means to attain Krishna bhakti. I'll repeat the verse again, which we concluded on. Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, Hiranyakashipu, Naisham matistava arukramangrim sprishatyanartha pagamo yarartha mahiyasam para rajobhishekam niskinchananam navrinita yavat. Oh, my dear father, persons who are absorbed in bodily identification, who fail to understand the necessity to free themselves from materialistic habits, unwanted desires, and unwanted misconceptions, and who do not smear themselves with the holy foot dust of great devotees, or they do not accept a abhishekam, a holy bath in the dust of the feet of the great souls, who are fully detached from mundane sense objects. They are niskinchan sadhus, niskinchan Vaishnavas, completely unattached to this material world. The dust from their feet, we should take a bath there. These, if they don't do this, such materialistic persons, there is no possibility that their consciousness can touch the glories of Sri Urukram Krishna's lotus feet. Because Krishna's Urukram, because he's famous for performing uncommon activities, extraordinary transcendental feats. After hearing Prahlad's preaching, Hiranyakashipu went crazy with anger. He threw his son up on the floor violently. He told his servants, kill this boy as soon as possible. The Rakshasa's servants, they're very fearful and ugly. They took away Prahlad, tried to kill him with their tridents while they were stabbing him with their pitchforks and tridents. They were chanting, chop him up, pierce him, chop him up, pierce him. The weapons of the demons couldn't touch Prahlad. He sat silently meditating on God. Hiranyakashipu became afraid that his son may have some invincible powers. And secondly, he tried to crush him to death under huge elephants. When that didn't work, he threw him in a pit of poisonous snakes. And he threw him down from the top of a mountain. He tried starving him to death, drowning him, freezing him, burning him, crushing him with heavy stones. He even tried tantra, jadu, and magic. But no harm came to his sinless, pure son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was very anxious. I've tried in so many ways to kill him, but I can't kill him. Somehow his own Tapabalam is saving him. This boy seems to be immortal. He has unlimited power. He's not at all afraid of my punishments. Perhaps because of my envy towards my anger, towards my son Prahlad, it is I will end up being killed and not him. Seeing he was crestfallen and unhappy, his two professors, Shandanamarka from his Gurukul, they tried to cheer him up and said, listen, this kid's nothing but a child. When he grows up, I'm sure his intelligence will change. Don't worry about it so much. So then Prahlad re-enrolled in school. He learned all about Dharma and Artha and Kam. But he didn't like these dualistic teachings of Maya. Whenever the two teachers would go home for lunch, Prahlad during tiffin hour would preach to students. and they would hear him with great attention. And when they were all gathered around him, all his little students, or his little shishya guru, shishu guru and shishu shishyas, child guru and child shishyas, and Prahlad, that wise, enlightened, self-realized, God-absorbed 5-year-old spoke to his little playmates at the Gurukul. Guru Prahlad, the 5-year-old guru, shishu guru, he gave shiksha. And he told his little 5-year-old friends, 7th Kanta, chapter 6, verse 1, Kumara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavatan niha durlabham manusham janma tadapya dhruvam artadam. Prahlad said, listen kids, one who is intelligent should use his human life from the tender age of childhood, like you and I, 5 years old, to engage in bhakti. And we should give up all their engagements. It's very rare to get a human body, listen to me. And it's temporary, like every other material body. But there's great meaning, because you and I, in this human life, we can engage in Vishnu bhakti. And if we just get a slightly amount of sincere bhakti, we'll attain perfection of our life. Prahlad explained to the children that bhakti is natural, because actually the object of bhakti is Vishnu, and he's the most beloved and dearest friend of us all. He's the master and lord of our very selves, and our eternal well-wisher. Then he spoke in verse number 3. Sukamma indriyakam daitya deha yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivad yata dukam ayatnata. Kids, sons of demons, the happiness that we perceive with reference to sense objects by the contact of our bodies with these objects can be obtained in any form of life according to one's purva karma. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. So whether we endeavor or we don't endeavor, we'll achieve happiness or distress. The Prahlad went on, talked about how we waste our life. We only have 100 years to live. And we spend 12 hours, half our life is spent sleeping. And then first 10 years in childhood, we're bewildered. Then 10 years as a baby child, we're playing. That's 20 years. And 50 years, half our life is sleeping, that's 50 years. Then 10 years growing up and figuring out our body. So that's 60 years. Then 10 years playing, goofing off. That's 70 years. Then old age, another 20 years, that's 90 years. 20 years in disease and old age and suffering. So now there's only 10 years left. But with those 10 years, because one has uncontrolled mind and senses, he becomes completely attached to his family and children and grandchildren and his wife, and spoils his whole material life and his whole human existence because of his insatiable lusty desires and illusory concepts of life. He wastes those few years he has in his hand and never serves the Lord. How can an attached householder become liberated? Materialists think money is sweeter than honey. Anyone without knowledge of God is attached to sense gratification. They become, such people become playthings in the hands of beautiful women. These are demons, and they're victimized due to their material desires and foolish conception of life. Don't meet with such persons. Take shelter of Lord Narayan. All of you and every one of us has an eternal relationship with Lord Narayan, and it's easy to please him. Please act in a way to please and satisfy the Lord. Be merciful, O my demoniac friends. Give up your demoniac nature. Be merciful to all and wish everyone well by enlightening them in bhakti. When one serves the Lord, he can attain anything, but he's so satisfied with that service, he's not interested in the fruits of dharma or the fruits of art or kaam. I heard this transcendental knowledge in parampara from my guru Narad in Bhagavad Dharma. Please adopt this philosophy and become perfect in life. And the demoniac student said, listen, we're all grown up in demoniac houses, you and I. So how did you hear all these spiritual topics from Narada Muni? So then he explained why he's in the womb and his father is doing austerities. His mother took shelter of Narada's ashram because the demons wanted to kill him. But Narada protected him and protected his mother in the ashram and taught him all this Bhagavad Dharma. My dear friends, if you put faith in my words, by that faith, then you realize all these teachings. He continues to instruct them. Start meditating on the Lord and worshiping Him. And give them very wonderful instructions of philosophy. So he concludes it by saying, simply try to take up bhakti and satisfy God, and thus you'll attain the ultimate goal of life. This is confirmed by all the Mahajans and Acharyas and all our great Vedic scriptures. Prahlad's schoolmates, they appreciated his Divya Gyan. They took it seriously. So then all the students rejected the materialistic teachings of their gurus, Shandanamarka. These demoniac teachers became afraid of Prahlad's prabhav. So then they took Prahlad to his father and described everything. So Hiranyakashipu started rebuking him and said, now I'm going to kill you and send you to Yamaloka. You're so rascal. Where do you get all this power that you're so impudent and disregard my authority? And Prahlad said, Father, the source of my strength is the same as yours. The original source of everyone's strength is God alone. Even Brahma, who you took benediction from, depends on God for his power. Father, give up your demoniac mentality and become peaceful. Don't become a slave to your six enemies, the senses. Hiranyakashipu said, you rascal, you're trying to minimize my life? Oh, most unfortunate Prahlad. You always describe a supreme person other than me. Where is he now? If he is everywhere, then why isn't he present in this pillar before me? Prahlad, you're speaking nonsense. Now I'm going to cut your head off. Let me see what your God does to protect you. At this time, perilous and dangerous, deadly time, Prahlad had a spurti of his worshipful Lord Vishnu. By his devotional vision, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochan, by his Bhakti Vilochan, the eyes of devotion, Prahlad had a vision. He saw Lord Vishnu within the pillar, that very pillar that he was standing right next to. And Vishnu was encouraging Prahlad, don't be afraid. I will protect you. Don't be afraid of this demon father. Hiranyakashipu noticed that his son Prahlad was locked in a meditation, staring at that pillar. He thought it was rather peculiar. And then he said, so what is this? Your God, you're seeing God in that pillar? Then obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu pulled out his sword, getting ready to cut his head off. And he got up from his throne, he went to that very column that Prahlad was previously had a sporti with, a vision of his Lord, and he struck that column with his fist, and the pillar shattered. Then this huge figure came out roaring so loudly it cracked the coverings of the universe. The demigods were afraid their planets were being destroyed. Everyone was afraid, even Hiranyakashipu. And to prove Prahlad's statement that God is everywhere present, God appeared as Nrisimhadev. Hiranyakashipu was amazed. What is this creature? It's not a man, it's not an animal, it's half man, half lion. Hiranyakashipu picked up his club and he whispered to himself, "This Vishnu, he's trying to kill me with this funny form. Who is there who can fight with me?" At this time, Hiranyakashipu looked like a small insect about to be consumed by the flames of a fire. Nrisimhadev picked him up like a cat picks up a mouse. Then he let him go again. Demigods were watching fearfully. When he escaped from Nrisimhadev's grip, Hiranyakashipu thought that the Lord was afraid of him. And he picked up his sword and shield again and again attacked the Lord. Then Nrisimhadev caught a hold of Hiranyakashipu and ripped out his insides and put them on his neck like a garland. Then all the followers of Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, thousands of demon soldiers. And he simply killed them with his fingernails. So by taking this form, Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Vishnu preserved the boon of Brahma that he wouldn't be killed by an animal or a human. Not in day and night, it was all twilight. Now with weapons he used his fingernails, so he didn't violate the vow or the benediction given by Brahma. So now relieved, all the demigods showered flowers upon Nrisimhadev and offered their prayers and obeisances out of deep gratitude. But he was still so angry after killing the demon and all his associates, everyone was afraid to approach him. Even Lakshmi had never seen such an unprecedented form of her Lord. So she was also afraid to go near him and cool him down. So Brahma asked Prahlad, said, "Listen, can you cool down Nrisimhadev?" So he did so. He fell at his feet, and Nrisimhadev picked up Prahlad and touched his hand on his head. And then Prahlad became completely free from material desires and contaminations. He became ecstatic, and his heart filled with love, and his eyes filled with tears. Somehow Prahlad captured the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. Then Prahlad started offering wonderful prayers for the pleasure of his Lord Nrisimhadev. Prahlad offered very wonderful and famous prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, contained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 9, verse 19. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nisingha nartasya chagadam udanvati majato nao taptasya tat pratividirya ihan jaseshtas tavad vibo tanu britam tavad upekshitanam tavad vivo tanupritam tvad upekshitanam. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their improvement. Whatever remedies they accept and try to follow, although temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. I give an example. A father and mother cannot protect their child. A A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Prahlad continued, verse 38. Hitam niti rishideva tashavatarher lokan vibhava yasi hamsi jagat pratipan dharmam mahapurusha pasi yuganuvrittam chanakalo yadavavastri yugota satvam. In this way, my Lord Nrisimhadev, my Lord Vishnu, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish or tortoise. Thus, maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, the Lord who appears in three yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara. 7943, Prahlad continues his prayers to Nrisimhadev as Lakshmi Devi and Brahma and Shiva and Indra and Chandra and Varun and Vayu, the 49 Maruts. All the demigods are standing around, listening to the prayers and watching the face of Lord Nrisimhadev and Prahlad's face to see the interaction of Bhakta Prahlad and his worshipful Lord. Naivodvije pradaratnyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta shocheta tovimukha cheta sanid indriyarta mayasukaya varam udvahatovi mudhan. O best of great personalities, Lord Nrisimhadev, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. This is 44. Prayena deva muniya savimukti kama monam charanti vijanena parartanishta netan vihaya kripanan vimamukshueko nanyam tvarasya sharanam ramato nupashye nanyam tvarasya sharanam ramato nupashye. Next prayer. Prayena deva muniya savimukti kama monam charanti vijanena parartanishta netan vihaya kripanan vivamukshueko nanyam tvarasya sharanam brahmato nupashye nanyam tvarasya sharanam brahmato nupashye. Prahlad said, my dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons who are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest, where they have no touch with the activities of the materialists, and they spend their time meditating with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. They are not interested in working for others by giving them the benefit of Krishna consciousness movement, by enlightening them with Krishna consciousness. As for me, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals in the material world. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Next prayer is 7945. Yan maitunari griha meri sukham hituchham kanduyanena karyori vaduka dukam tripyanti neha kripana pahuduka bhaja kandutivan manasijam vishaheta dhirha. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, who have no spiritual knowledge, these are so-called married people, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching of satisfying their sex itch is the greatest platform of happiness, although in reality it is a source of distress. The miserly fools, the kripanas, who are just opposite the brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sense enjoyment. However, those who are dhira, sober and tolerant, they can tolerate this itching. They are not subjected to the sufferings experienced by the fools and rascals who are controlled by sex life. Srila Prabhupada gives a nice purport on this verse in his Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse, Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham kanduyanena karyori vaduka dukam tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandutivan manasijam vishahita dhira. He says that, Prabhupada's comment, materialistic people think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world. And because of this, they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is found everywhere, especially in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. But this has not made anyone happy. Even hippies who have given up all materialistic comforts of their families cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such sexually attached persons are called misers, kripanas. The human form of life is the greatest asset. For in this life, one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, because of lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Because of lack of real education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj gave very wonderful instructions. Hearing these wonderful prayers, realized knowledge, and conclusions of Siddhanta from Prahlad, Bhagavan Nrsimha became very pleased and pacified, and he offered a benediction. Please take a benediction. And Prahlad said, okay, I'm born in an atheistic family, so I'm naturally inclined to material enjoyment. But don't tempt me. I'm afraid of materialistic life, and I want freedom from it. That's why I'm taking shelter of your feet. Lusty desires are within everyone's heart. My Lord, I have no motivation. You're my eternal master. This is our natural relationship. Let me offer my obeisances unto you. I pray that material desires may never enter my heart. The Srinidhi replied, Prahlad, a pure devotee like you does not want any material happiness. Nevertheless, I want you to be the king of the demons and lead them on the path of Dharma and continue your service. While staying in the material world, you will exhaust the reactions of pious activities and neutralize your impious results. Eventually, give up your body and go to Vaikuntha. One who always remembers our pastimes together, Prahlad, and chants the prayers that you have offered, will become free from the reactions of all his material activities in due course of time. My Lord, I have only one wish. Please excuse my father for all of sins and offenses. The Srinidhi said, Don't worry. Already, because of your purity, your father and 21 generations of your forefathers have become purified. You are the best example of my pure devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. Lord Brahma was pleased to see Nrisimhadeva's anger pacified, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, Unfortunately, I gave him benedictions by which he became powerful, but you've killed him to relieve everything. So then after being worshipped by Brahma, Nrisimhadeva disappeared. Then Prahlad worshipped and offered prayers to all the demigods, beginning with Brahma and Shiva. And then Shukracharya installed Prahlad on the throne as the king of all the daityas and demons. And that concludes the story of Prahlad. Bhakta Prahlad ki jai, Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai. There's one other story in the seventh canto, the story of Tripurari. This is Tripurari Mahadev Leela ki jai. How did Shiva get the name Tripurari? The enemy of the three cities, Tripura cities, Ari, enemy. Narada wanted to enlighten Yudhisthira about the position. First, he enlightened him about the position of Brahma, that even he is subservient to Lord Vishnu, although he gave such a powerful benediction to Hiranyakashipu. He was ultimately vanquished by Lord Vishnu, not Brahma. Then Brahma offered prayers of forgiveness and glorification of Vishnu as supreme. So by hearing this, then Yudhisthira could understand that Vishnu is supreme, not Brahma. Now he wants to dispel any doubts or confusion that King Yudhisthira might have regarding the position of Mahadev Shiva. Shankara Bhagavan ki. He wants to explain, like Brahma, Lord Shiva receives his power from Lord Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So in order to reveal that, Narada Muni told ancient history, itihas, or purana, puranic story. He said, listen, Yudhisthira, the demons were defeated by the demigods, and then they took shelter of this techno-genius demon, and a techno-genius demon named Mayadhanava, he made three flying cities for the demons, and they could be invisible. And this way they could easily conquer everyone in the world, which they did. The demigods were being destroyed by the demons. They approached Lord Shiva, said, please save us. He said, don't be afraid. Then Shiva released his arrows at these three flying cities. And all the demons were killed. But Mayadhanava is not so easily defeated. He took all his dead brothers and put them in a nectar pool, and they all got back to life. became even more powerful, and bodies were as strong as thunderbolts. And Shiva became aggrieved at this. And Vishnu started to think about how the nuisance created by Maya Dhanava could be stopped. So then Brahma and Vishnu, they disguised themselves and appeared in these three cities as a cow and a calf, and they drank all the nectar from that well. They could understand, the demons understood this as a trick of Maya, but they couldn't stop the cow and calf. Maya Dhanava understood this was an act of God. He said, well, what can we do? Whatever is destined by God can't be stopped by demigods, demons, or anybody. Then Vishnu empowered Shiva with extraordinary weapons and chariot. Then Shiva, he burned up all these three cities with his arrows. The demigods were very happy, and then they beat drums and showered flowers, and he became known as Tripurari. And everyone worshipped Lord Shiva, even Brahma. So after receiving empowerment, a special driver and flag and shield and everything from Vishnu, then Shiva was able to defeat these powerful demons and destroy their three flying cities of iron, silver, and gold. So in the next Bhagavad Leela, we'll discuss about Bhagavan Yajna, the Bhagavan Yajna avatar, and about Gajendra Moksha.